Today on More to Life, getting past grief. Are you experiencing the loss of a loved one or grieving a change in your circumstances? We'll help you find hope and healing. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, getting past grief. Are you experiencing the loss of a loved one or grieving a change in your circumstances? We want to help you find hope and healing today on More to Life. Join the conversation. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Of course, the whole Ave Maria Radio, EWTN community is continuing to mourn the loss of our dear friend, Al Cresta. But we wanted to take this opportunity today to kind of pull back the lens a little bit and focus on dealing with grief in general and your experiences of grief as well. And that can that can encompass a lot of different kinds of loss, in fact.
Certainly can. You know, when we go through any kind of loss that sort of shakes our comfort zone, shakes our sense of who we are, who we've been, who we hope to be, the word shake really does apply so much. We feel off kilter. We feel uncertain. We feel scared. We feel sad. There's such a myriad of emotions. And then sometimes we feel a little guilty on top of it because we think, well, as Christians, we're supposed to be happy about anything that, you know, is God's will. And we are. But that's a process that He takes us through. And it's all right to suffer loss and grieve it. I mean, Jesus cried when Lazarus died. He knew He was going to raise him again, but He still cried. When He had to go through His passion, death, and resurrection, He sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. We aren't meant to just be happy little automatons all the time, although a lot of us would probably prefer to be. We do go through difficult times, and yes, even grief and loss. So let's help you get past it in an effective way, a way that aligns you with who God wants you to be and your best self and gives you some relief today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still join the conversation via email. Send us your questions to questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com.
So as we're saying, grief can accompany all kinds of losses. Are you grieving a loss in your life? Perhaps a loved one has passed away and you're struggling to find your way through it. Are you grieving the loss of a relationship, your health, a job? Are you experiencing a transition, like empty nest, that's bringing on a feeling of grief? Whatever loss you're grieving, let us help you find peace, strength, and healing.
877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. And whether you are grieving the loss of a loved one or a relationship that's been important to you, you're experiencing a change in your health that's causing you to grieve the loss of that health or a job or some other transition, One of the things that we'll be returning to again and again today on the show is the idea that grief is not the process of letting go or forgetting. Grief is the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to the person that has passed or the thing that has that you've lost. For example, you know, if I've experienced a change in my health, you know, I've lost certain mobility, or I've experienced certain symptoms that have taken away my ability to do certain things, how do I hold on to the person I was? How do I hold on to my sense of self in the face of that loss? If I lose a loved one, how do I hold on to the things that they meant to me and the lessons I learned from them and the things they brought into my life? Grief is that process of identifying ways to stay connected to that person or that thing that is gone in ways that are meaningful and fulfilling and are enriching. And it can be hard to get to that place sometimes. And that's where you start to experience what's called complicated grief, where we maybe attach to the wrong thing. For example, we focus on that person's decline or on certain regrets, or we focus on what we wish we were instead of holding on to what we can be,
what we are and what God wants us to be in the situation.
And so, you know, grief can be complicated. We're asking you to share if your experience of loss and how you're wrestling with it. And if there's, let us help you find ways to experience peace, strength, and healing.
Or if you've gotten past a complicated grief and you're in a place where you have wisdom on the other side of that and you want to share with your fellow listeners today, we'd love to hear your stories as well. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, you know, what is that and how can it help me deal with grief? When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation and especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that although grief and loss are a part of this life, God never meant for us to experience grief or loss, and he intends to restore all things to us when we are one with him. Dr. Claudia Wolf, the author of The Grieving Brain, wrote that when a loved one dies, we can feel that we've lost a part of ourselves because their presence is coded into our neurons. The theology of the body argues that biology is theology. The fact that God designed our bodies in such a way that people who share our lives literally become part of us points to the ultimate reality of the communion of saints and the reunion we hope to enjoy in heaven.
You know, the world tells us that loss, whether the loss of a job, a relationship, our health, or a loved one, is an ending. But seen through the eyes of faith, loss represents a promise of God's mercy, providence, and abundance. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be consoled." In our broken world, the most natural response to loss is to give up, to settle. But God wants us to approach loss differently. He wants us to see him, not the world, as the source of all good gifts. Nothing is ever really lost to someone who loves God. Whatever it is that we think is lost to us, whether that's our ability to provide for our own needs, or the people we care about, the situations or people we depend on, if we turn to God and ask him, how does he want us to respond to that loss? He'll not only provide for our needs, he'll show us how to fill up the hole that's left inside. So let's talk about healing from grief today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Call and share. You know, has a loved one passed away and you're struggling to find your way through? Are you grieving the loss of a relationship or your health? or a job. Maybe you're experiencing a transition, like an empty nest, and that's bringing on feelings of grief. Whatever loss you're grieving, let us help you find peace, strength, and healing. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Again, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, and I hope you do, you can always get your questions in via email, and that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all those experiences of loss that fill our lives. We bring to you those feelings of grief that we have in the presence of a lost loved one. We bring to you the grief that we feel that when we experience the loss of health, the loss of an important relationship, the loss of a job or a position, or when we go through a difficult transition. We ask you, Lord, to teach us how to respond to those situations so that we can remain connected to the people and to those the things and all that they meant to us, and that we can learn from this experience and move forward in a spirit of hope and confidence and healing. Help us to find all things in you, and help us to respond to all of these losses and experiences in a way that enable us to glorify you and build your kingdom, even in the face of the sadness that we feel. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. In a special way, of course, we ask for the prayer, all of your prayers, for the repose of the soul of Al Cresta, and for the consolation of all of those who loved him. Amen. And we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Getting Past Grief. Are you experiencing the loss of a loved one or grieving a change in your circumstances? We want to help you find hope and healing today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
My daughter died a year ago yesterday, and she had just graduated from college. She was going to be a teacher, and we have three other children. But one of and it was a tragic. Not only was it tragic because she died, but she was in a car with two other friends, and so they all three died. And so anyway, we have three other children, my husband and I, and our other daughter is not coping very well. I see that she's kind of turning to alcohol and doing some things that I think are not healthy. And so I wanted to know, how do I reach out to my daughter without alienating her if I talk to her about her drinking and things like that? And I think I have offered to go to like grief counseling with her, and a group counseling that I went to that was very helpful. She said she's not ready for it. So I wanted to know, how do I best help my other daughter?
Sure.
And Maria, how old is this daughter, and does she live with you, near you, or far away?
No, she's about 30 minutes away from me. She's 25, and she lives with her husband and their dog and their cat.
Okay, so she is married. Have you had any time to reflect on this with her husband? Is he concerned as well, or is he sort of walking along the same path with her with the alcohol and things like that? Where's that for her
no,
in terms of support?
No, he's supportive. He works hard, but I think that emotionally he is not fully there for her, and so she's turning to, you know, going out and drinking and things like that. And so I think emotionally she feels like he's not there for her. One of the good things that she is doing is that she has kept in touch with my other daughter's friends, and she does get together with them, and they do things together, healthy things together, like they go visit her grave and things like that. So, you know, she does do some healthy things, but I'm just worried about the drinking and turning to maybe some some drugs. I'm not sure about that. But I just feel like she's not coping as best as she could, and I don't want to alienate her, but I don't know. How do I best help her?
Right, of course. One last question. How close are the two of you? How much contact do you have with her? I mean, is it sort of like do you talk on the phone regularly, see each other regularly?
Yes. Every couple of days I do see her, we talk or text on the phone.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for the context, and I'm very, very sorry for your loss, but I really appreciate your desire to not only, cope for yourself with this loss, but also help your daughter through this challenging time. So the first thing I would say is that, you want to read the relationship, right? I think it's important to bring it up, and then see how she reacts. Give it some time, build up the relationship, and then bring it up again. Take the longer view on this, where it's not going to be one conversation where there's a big push where you get her to appropriately deal with the grief. You want to point to specific things. So, for example, if you say, I don't know what to make of it. Maybe you don't feel like it's a problem, but I've noticed this, that you're doing that I'm really kind of concerned about. Can you tell me about where you're at with that? Right. So you're not saying, I'm worried about your drinking. You're saying I'm worried about these behaviors. Right. I see you isolating. I see you not enjoying things the way you used to. I see you doing things that I'm a little concerned are destructive. Right. And when she says, that's not true, whatever, you can point to specific examples. Then it's harder to fight with specific examples than it is whether a person is engaging in problem drinking or not. Right. All they have to do in that case is just say, well, no, I'm not. I'm fine. But if you can point to specific things that they're doing, that their behavior has changed, that, their attitude has changed, they're pushing
perhaps
people away.
That's what I was going to say. Perhaps she is even less connected to her husband. Perhaps she's not staying in contact with your family as much, even though she's staying in contact with friends who went through this tragedy, or your other daughter's friends who went through the tragedy of these three losses. We really want to look at if she's pushing the closest people in her heart out for life in some way as evidence.
So when you bring it up, try to point to specific concrete concerns as opposed to sort of diagnosing it and saying, I think you're drinking too much. I mean, she may be, but she won't necessarily agree with that, and it'll be harder to fight than it would be to address specific concerns. So like I said, bring it up, see how she reacts, then recognize that bringing that up expends a certain amount of relationship capital, and you need to build that capital back up before you bring it up again. Right, so you bring it up, she doesn't react well to it, you kind of do some things together, you keep it light, you keep the connection going, and then, once you've seen that things seem to have normalized and she seems to be a little less suspicious or defensive around you, then you can bring it back up again. Another way to address it, is to ask her to help you with something. For example, you're saying that your daughter passed a year ago. This would be maybe a time to say, a year on, I just felt like I just needed to get a little bit more help in the transition. I've started to go to counseling, or I'm going back to the grief group again. Would you mind coming with me? Could you, because I really feel like I could use some support, right? She might be more willing to do it for you than for herself. But you want to keep pressing it, but the way I was describing, and also asking her to come alongside of you as opposed to making her the issue, which she'll be less defensive about. Those are some ways to start the conversation. I'd suggest trying these ideas out. If you find that they're not successful, you can either call us back here on the show, we'll talk through some other ideas, or you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, and we can set you up with a good, faithful Catholic counselor to help guide you through some of these challenges. But either way, I hope these ideas will get you started. If there's more we can do for you, we're here for you on the air or at CatholicCounselors.com. Maria, we've added you and your family to our More to Life prayer list. Thanks so much for calling in today and sharing your experience. I hope that these suggestions will help move you down the road toward greater healing for your whole family. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Getting Past Grief. We're talking about experiencing loss of any kind, whether that's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of an important relationship, for example, in a divorce, the loss of our health, or for that matter, a transition, like moving to an empty nest that brings on feelings of grief. Whatever losses you might be encountering, we want to help you find peace, strength, and healing. 877-573-7825. More with your calls after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is titled Getting Past Grief, as we talk about facing loss of all kinds and how we can experience hope and healing in the face of loss. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is a pastor, a counselor, an expert in the theology of the body, and the founder of the Tabor Life Institute. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Always an honor to be here.
So as a pastor and a counselor, I know that you encounter a lot of people who are wrestling with grief. And what can the theology of the body teach us about dealing with grief gracefully?
Well, the theology of the body has this really, really incredible word, this principle, this gift. You can understand everything through this spiritual body of gift. A lot of times in grief and tragedies, whatever it is, when it's a loss of something, a person, a job, experience, whatever, we ask why. Why? Especially if it seems to be unjust or very tragic. And through the theology of the body's principle, what we do is we ask not so much why. We may never know why. We don't always know the why, the mind of God. Sometimes we might know why. But mostly what you do is, and what God looks for is, how do we respond to it in terms of gift? Even the worst tragedy, the thing that seems to be most unjust, you know, makes us almost angry with God. Don't stay in that why. Come out of the why and say, okay, what does God want me to do to respond to this, to turn it into gift? In fact, those people, you know, who sometimes experience some of the most deepest pain of loss can become some of the greatest healers themselves by sharing that with others, by sympathizing with others. So you ask yourself, what am I to learn from this? What is it doing for me as a person? So you turn it into gift. That's one of the greatest aspects of our faith, is that, and with only through the eyes of faith, which Sajjabhai teaches us, can we take the worst thing and turn it into the best thing, even grief, even what seems to be unjust. And we see that right from the cross. Jesus Christ did it himself at the cross. The worst thing was turned into the greatest gift. And that's what we have to focus on. It's what our Lord asks us to focus on, what he looks for. And no person is replaceable. No experience is replaceable. And so what we have to do is not focus on the loss of it, but the fact that, like a gratitude, gee, we had that experience. We knew that person. we at least we had it in our lives, and we're richer for it, even though it is gone. Because the other thing you realize is that all things are temporary on this side of eternity. However, we wait for their fulfillment in the next life, so we have that hope. You know, Christ said, "I'll make all things new again." And also, the church, when it comes to loss of persons, that, you know, and the church prays unceasingly. And in that prayer, especially in the Eucharist, we are close to that person, maybe even closer than we were on earth. And we wait for that we have that joyful hope that we'll be reunited with them in the end when God makes all things new. So when things end here, it's a contemporary ending, because we look towards their renewal or their transformation in the next life. And that's the beauty of our faith, that it's based on gift and hope. And that's one of the biggest principles of theology of the body. So not so much why, but how do we respond to it and turn it into gift?
Amen. Well, Lloyd, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. Really important things to face, especially in times of grief. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to TaborLife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, TaborLife.org. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about getting past grief. You know, grief accompanies all kinds of loss. Are you grieving a loss in your life? Whether that's a loved one who's passed away and you're struggling to find your way through, or you're grieving a loss of a relationship that's been important to you, or your health or a job, or maybe experiencing a transition like empty nest that's bringing on feelings of grief. We're here for you. 877-573-7825. More to Life will be back with your calls in just a minute.
We have something that stands in utter contrast to the lies of this world. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God is what demolishes all that sets itself up as an opponent to the good, the true, and the beautiful. All that sets itself up as an opponent to Christ Jesus. The Word of God is given to us so that we have something to hold on to that's true in all circumstances. We always have a place where we can wash ourselves in the regenerating waters of Scripture. We have a place to retreat to, where we can cling to what is true. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of the joint and the marrow, and it's a judge and critic of the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
This week, we honor the visionary life and work of Al Cresta on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, "I do" to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, Even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Getting Past Grief. Are you experiencing the loss of a loved one or grieving a change in your life, whether that's the loss of a relationship that's been important to you, the loss of your health, the loss of a job, or maybe you're experiencing a transition, like an empty nest, that's bringing on feelings of grief? Whatever loss you're experiencing, we want to help you find peace, strength, and healing. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Annette, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Dakota on Real Presence Radio.
Hi, Annette. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, my son passed away on January 22nd. 2023.
And so sorry.
My parents, we lost them shortly before that. We lost all of them within 4.5 months. And then getting the family together once a year, and there's 11 of us, it's like we always have an excuse. And I don't understand, you know, before they would say we all have longevity, but after CRISPR died, then everyone was in shock. But we can't get past that perceived we've got time. And then his...
Can I ask, I'm sorry, you said that getting the family together, you don't know how to get... Like, are you saying that they don't want to get together?
They all make an excuse to avoid a get-together?
I have to work. It's once a year. We had a wedding. Christopher's son got married, and we just couldn't all get together. It's always... And it's like
even for his son's wedding.
Yes, and so.
And Annette, you said that this was true before your son's passing as well.
Yes.
They had different excuses then, and now this is another excuse for not getting together, is what you're saying.
Right, because they always thought we got time, we can get together, and then even when my dad was dying, his dad told my one brother, I don't think I'll be here. Well, wait till I'll be back in September, Dad. I'll be back in December. Mm. Dad died August 8th. He came the day before Dad died. But it's the struggle. And I know I shouldn't be frustrated because that's where they are. But even like his goddaughter, you know, once he died, she went off the rails. She's living counter to the faith. She quit going to church. And she keeps always bringing up Christopher. And Christopher was an exemplary Catholic. He wrote a prayer that was by the bishop, was a Eucharistic prayer that he gave his permission to, what did he put his imprint on it, right?
He's
an example of a good Catholic. And it's just, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what I'm looking at.
Oh, that is so heartbreaking. And then on the first thing, of course, our hearts are with you in the loss of your son. The hope that Father Loya was talking about is certainly heard in your voice, in your words, because your son was so in line with his faith and with the Lord. But I understand almost the dropping of a bit of the veil in your eyes, because you're saying, hey guys, time is very limited here on earth. Let's make the most of it. Let's be closer. Have you come right out and said to them all, this is important. We don't know if we're going to have each other, you know, the next time. And do they just say, oh, well, we can't, or do they ever really respond to that question? What's happening with them in that?
Well, my sister is really sick, and we think she has MS, so I told everybody to come back, and they couldn't do that. So it's like...
Okay.
I don't know what to say. Anymore.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything you can say in it, because what you're really describing here are feelings looking for a reason. in particular, the feelings of not knowing how to do relationship, not wanting to depend on others or be connected to others, and there's always a different excuse. These aren't real reasons. They're feelings looking for a legitimate excuse for doing what they want to do anyway.
Because what I'm hearing is that you and your son both really understood relationship. You had a connection to each other. You both have a connection to God. That's the deepest relationship that we can have. And so when we have that kind of connection between our soul and God, our soul and other people who are walking that pathway with us, we get it. And so that urgency and that desire to be in communion with others, especially our family members, gets heightened because we understand what we're all about. We're talking about a group of people here who are avoiding having relationship because it makes them uncomfortable in some way.
There's something called an avoidant attachment style. And that's where a person has an attitude, or people have an attitude toward relationship that I can take it or leave it, right? You know, it's a very kind of, I don't know how to be vulnerable to others, and I don't like people being vulnerable with me. I want to be able to go do my own thing. It can come off as selfish, but really what it is there's a brokenness there. You know, just like we can have a broken arm or a broken leg, some people have the part of them that knows how to love be broken as well. And it sounds like for whatever reason, your extended family is in that situation. And it's not, and in the face of that, there's nothing you can do or say to convince them to come back. They'll come when they want to, and they won't if they don't.
But that's the case in the larger group, Annette. And I think that maybe what you want to do is try to walk with individuals in your family who are a bit more open, who may not be able to commit to one big day a year for the whole family because they're really flooded by that, or truly their schedules won't work for that one particular day. But can you start building relationships with those who are that you really want to be seeing? Can you text more often? Can you call them more often? Can you come up with one day where you can see that particular person or family as part of your family? And as you build those relationships more personally, you may begin to see some of those walls crumble and those larger events more possible.
And you know, you can reach out to all of them, but build relationship with the ones who reach back. Yeah. Don't try to make it your job to be the family savior, right? Because even our savior stands at the door and knocks, but we have to let him in. Right. And so that's what's happening. You can say, hey, I'd love to get together. If they don't open the door, then you can move on to the person whose door is open. And that's OK. But you can't make it all work. You can't make them come together. You're running up against a broken part inside of them that doesn't know how to do relationship. And that's bigger than you can fix, unfortunately. So I think that you're going to want to allow yourself to grieve some of those relationships with the people who don't want to respond. You can accept what they can give, so when they do finally decide to come around, you can be warm and welcoming and open to them. But you always need to remind yourself in the back of your mind that the relationship I'm going to have with this person is the relationship they want to have with me, not the relationship I'd like to have with them. Because when somebody has an avoidant attachment style, you can only relate to them the way they want you to. And they don't really care if you want more relationship. They focus more on what they want to give and are willing to give.
And it's not necessarily that they don't care about you, but it's just that broken part of them won't let them go deeper or really be able to share that with you. They'll let you know that they care about you and want that relationship because it makes them so uncomfortable. It's just not something they're really able to do well.
Annette, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out here. I hope that these suggestions have been helpful. We also talk more about this in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is a book both about setting boundaries, but also how to deal with what you're being given by others so that you can use that to build relationship however it's possible. And again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. Or wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Getting Past Grief, as we talk about all the ways that grief affects us and all the kinds of losses we experience. Are you experiencing the loss of a loved one? Or perhaps you're grieving the loss of a relationship that's been important to you. Or you're grieving the loss of your health or a job. Or maybe you're experiencing a transition, like an empty nest, that's bringing on feelings of grief. Whatever loss you're experiencing, we want to help you find peace, strength, and healing. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same consolation which we ourselves are comforted by God.
Amen. Are you experiencing grief or loss in some way? Let us help you find peace and healing and the way forward. The number again is 877-573-7825. If you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions to us via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But we'd love to hear your voice if you're listening live and ask those follow-up questions. So again, the number, 877-573-7825. Let's talk through ways to heal from grief and loss when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
If you have sustained conversation with non-Catholic Christians, one of the things that always comes up about you as a Catholic is, why do you confess to a priest? Why would you go to a priest when you can go straight to God? I would say, well, look, I went to Jesus, I looked at his word, and it told me to go to a priest. It is interesting, one of the first things you notice right towards the end of the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself determined to forgive and retain sins through human intermediaries. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And Jesus commissioned his apostles on earth to speak in his name, to forgive sins or retain sins, not just metaphorically, but metaphysically.
This week, we honor the visionary life and work of Al Cresta on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, getting past grief. We're talking about, how do we confront experiences of loss and grief gracefully? Whatever that loss you've encountered, whether that is a loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship that's been important to you, the loss of your health or a job or other circumstance, like a transition to an empty nest, whatever grief you're experiencing, we want to help you find peace, strength, healing, and the way forward. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825.
And in the midst of a difficult conversation, we always want to celebrate what is good and true and beautiful. And so today we want to send out congratulations to another member of our EWTN radio family, KMMK FM 88.7 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is celebrating 6 years with EWTN. We send out congratulations to Tony and Susan May and their team at KMMK from all of your friends here at EWTN.
And however you're listening to EWTN, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station. Let's keep EWTN going for decades to come so that we can continue supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about getting past grief.
Let's talk now with Kate, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Kate, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hello.
Hello, huh? Kate. What can we do with for you today?
Well, I am wondering if I could maybe get some advice about how to handle a transition in your relationship, in your marriage,
sure.
Which I kind of feel is grieving, because I know that when I am sort of depressed or feel like I'm grieving the loss of something, I tend to just want to space out and be on my own and binge watch, you know, TV and that kind of thing. And that's how I know it is affecting me.
Okay.
I'm glad you can see that pattern. That's good.
Yeah.
So what can we do for you, though? What's going on?
Well, my husband and I are at the age where he's lost his dad, and so then a lot of the responsibilities that his dad have, my husband has taken over, and some of it is temporary, but some of it will continue. We just put his uncle in a memory care, so that's his mom's brother. And so now his dad used to take care of his uncle's estate and all his finances and this type of thing. And now that has passed on to my husband. And so I feel like that's sort of going to be his role now. And it may be temporary, but it may not. And he's very perfectionistic, so he takes it very seriously and spends a ton of time. This last weekend, we had a weekend free of kids. And he spent the entire weekend, Friday to Monday, working on those things. And I thought, oh gosh, I thought maybe we would have some time together, and it would be great to do something that we might not be able to do with.
Had you guys talked about that in advance, about how you wanted to spend time together, and try to make a plan for that? And did he? Well, first of all, did you have that conversation before the weekend, or not?
Not really. We didn't really have that conversation.
Okay. How do you think he'd have responded if you had? Would he have been open to it, or would he just make excuses?
Probably the result would have been the same. It usually, the typical thing is that when he has something to do, he just focuses completely on that. So he gets hyper-focused on it. And so if I had said, what would you like to do this weekend? Should we do this? Should we do that? Or maybe we could do this. He'd say, nope, I'm really busy, and I've got to get this done because there's a meeting on Monday, and it's urgent, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because the interesting thing is that when we said, have you talked with him about it, your approach is, what do you want to do this weekend, honey? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's sort of leaving it up to him. It's nebulous. Have you ever just said to him, okay, honey, you have all this on your plate. I know it's really weighing on you, but the kids are coming this weekend or on another weekend. I need some time with you this weekend. Let's actually schedule this out so we get all our needs met. Have you been that direct in terms of, let's plan this so that you can balance this all?
Or you know what, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I would say more direct and say, I'm lonely and I miss you, and I'm finding myself spacing out and getting really sad because I feel like we've lost our marriage in the face of all the stuff that you've had to take on. I need time with you. Could you be that direct with him?
I could. To be honest, I never thought about doing either of those things.
Okay. Well, that's where I want you to start, okay?
Yeah.
And there may be more to it, okay? But I think, you know, being able to address a problem starts with being honest about what the problem really is. And you know, for whatever reason, I think that you're trying to be generous, right? You're trying to be selfless. You're trying to just give your husband the space he needs to do the things he needs to do. But one of those most important things, in fact, the most important thing, is attending to you.
You and your and other relationships, like you said, your children were coming to the house. And I agree with Greg. It's very important to, like, say those things to him that are, I miss you. I feel like I've lost you. I'm kind of grieving this. But based on what you're also saying about your husband in terms of his hyper-responsibility, you may not, you know, I still want you to do it. I absolutely want you to do it. But you may not get the response you definitely are yearning for, because suddenly he has to figure that out. But if you cannot make it a test for him, but be honest with those feelings, honest with that grief, but then say, I really need for us to sit down with our schedules and come up with a plan of when we can spend time together, when we can spend time as a family, because I need family time, and actually put it on a schedule, so then he can know, yeah, I can handle all this stuff with the estate and the business on this times, but I'm going to be fully in on those times. With his personality, that may help him do this more readily.
I'd also like to suggest, and I know that this will be a little bit of a harder conversation, but the way you described, you know, these responsibilities just falling to your husband, obviously those things need to be done, but they don't need to be done by him, necessarily.
But if he wasn't in the picture... Yeah, if he had never been born, let's go to, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. If he had never been born, somebody else would have to carry that in some way.
So the question isn't, you know, should he do it or shouldn't he? The question is, how can the two of you approach these responsibilities in a more intentional way that says, look, yes, these things need to be done, but how can we do them in a way that allows us to be a couple, that allows us to have a life, that doesn't let you get... become drowned in all the responsibility? How do we manage this? What do we need to delegate? What do we need to hire out? What do we need to just let go? How do we make sure that our priorities are in order here? And as far as that goes, your priorities have to be the sacramental marriage that you are living in, right? That is your vocation. And if we don't serve God by neglecting our spouse and our family to go out and do big things for other people. I mean, it's good to serve others. It is. But we have the primary responsibility, the sacramental vocation of taking care of our marriage and family life first.
And it's really that sacramental grace when we live into it that then allows us to have the energy to be able to do those other things, because we've been filling each other up. We've been living that sacrament. And then we can say together, okay, now how can we handle these other things that people need us for? And how can we handle it together so it becomes an us project and draws us closer together rather than a you project and I'm just waiting in the wings, just fading over here?
So the takeaway on both of these parts, Kate, is to be more direct and more intentional about how you're managing really everything.
Lovingly, invitingly, but very intentional.
You know, both direct and more intentional about how you're handling these responsibilities that have fallen to your husband, and not just saying, well, I guess he has to do that now, and I'm just going to go stand over here and wait for him, but really saying, how can we approach this in a way that allows us to get the stuff done, but draw closer to each other? And secondly, being more direct and intentional about the marriage and saying, look, I miss you. I'm lonely. I feel myself getting depressed. I've noticed that I'm checking out more. I've noticed that I do the things that I do when I'm getting sad and lonely. And I need us to make some time for us too. Let's figure out how to do that and still get the other stuff done.
And let's do that together.
Okay. Kate, thank you so much for the call. If you find that you're struggling to do that, you have that conversation, but you guys get stuck, a couple of resources for you. I'd encourage you to learn more about Marriage Encounter, but also you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to get some personal faithful guidance on how to make sure that you're handling all the responsibilities of your life, but in a way that really respects the sacrament that you're living together. Thanks for the call. And listeners, if you are struggling with grief or loss, I want you to know that there is hope, that the challenge of grief is not letting go or giving up or settling. The challenge of grief is finding out how to respond to it in a way that will glorify God, that will help you grow and be more of the person He's creating you to be. We find relief in grief by looking for ways to stay connected to the thing that we've lost and find ways to grow in the face of that loss. That's easier said than done, but it gives you a way forward. And if there's more that we can do to support you on that journey, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about working with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you through those difficult times of grief and loss and find the path to healing, strength, and peace. CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. And remember, celebrate the life that God wants you to live, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in today. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.